However, tasks that require logic and self-control can only be done by System 2. In an experiment of cognitive pupillometry, results showed that switching tasks is effortful and engages System 2. There is a law of least effort that says System 2 will engage at its lowest possible effective rate because it has a limited capacity. Executive control happens in System 2 and is more developed in humans than in other primates. Time pressure is another aspect that makes things effortful and turns on System 2. There is a relationship between mental effort and the size of pupils. The harder the problem, the more dilated the pupil. The maximum pupil size correlates with maximum effort exerted. Beyond this, people will give up and their pupils will stop dilating or contract. When working on a problem, the pupil size expands. When they solve or give up on the problem, it shrinks. System 2 has a limited capacity, and it avoids overload by focusing only on the most important activity. This can make it blind. In the peak of mental effort, it's common to only perceive the task at hand and no other distractions, no matter how obvious or intrusive they are. Key takeaway: System 2 will exert the least possible effort to complete a task. It has limited capacity and will exert only the amount of effort necessary to get a task done. Chapter 3: The Lazy Controller. System 2 also has a natural speed, just like a stroll. System 2 is a limited resource. As such, we stop walking when we do a math problem, for example. Changes in physical activity, such as speeding up a leisurely stroll to a sprint, can have an adverse effect on the ability to think, as it's taxing on the limited resources System 2 has. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, a professor who specializes with flow, talks about two forms of effort: self-control to concentrate on a task, and cognitive effort to control attention. He defines flow as being able to use large quantities of effort for long periods of time without needing to apply additional willpower. He describes it as an optimal experience. The task may be taxing, yet, while in the flow, the individual can keep focused on activities without drawing from their sources of self-control. When we are busy cognitively, we are more likely to be selfish or prejudiced in our language, give in to temptation, and make selfish choices. Having to control self-will is a demanding task for System 2, and the more its self-control is challenged, the less willing it is to resist. This is known as ego depletion. Roy Baumeister hypothesizes that physical activity and cognition depend on the same energy source, glucose. This depletion of energy is not the same as cognitive busyness. The nervous system uses more glucose than any other part of the body, and a depletion in glucose resources can lead to poor or lazy choices where System 2 depends on the intuition of System 1. System 2 monitors and controls thoughts of System 1. System 2 is lazy, however, and fails to catch System 1's mistakes. As such, intelligence is not as much about knowledge as it is about having an engaged System 2. Key takeaway: System 2 does not always engage with System 1 thoughts and impulses in such a way as to catch System 1's mistakes. Being cognitively busy diminishes System 2's limited abilities to monitor System 1. Chapter 4: The Associative Machine. We all understand from experience that ideas follow each other in our conscious mind in a fairly orderly way. System 1 is the automatic function of the brain and uses a tool called associative activation, where ideas that have been evoked trigger other ideas. Words can trigger certain memories, which in turn trigger emotion, which evoke physical reactions. System 1 tries to make sense of things by linking events, words, and situations into a casual story. Activating one idea tends to activate many more, yet only a few are actually registered in our conscious, or System 2. David Hume first reduced association to three principles of resemblance, contiguity in time and place,